Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Today I want you to listen to the Word of God because it's good. It's always good, but today it's really good. How do I know that? Because I've already ministered this message. I get to hear it again, and I get to hear it again before the morning's over, and it is wonderful. We're going into the wonderful text. I know you know where it is. We've been there for years. Galatians, the 6th chapter, and verse number 9. In fact, when we read the verse, it'll be familiar to you because Pastor Deborah brought one of the greatest messages I've ever heard. If you hadn't gotten that CD, didn't hear that message on literally recharging yourself so that you don't grow weary, you need to get it. It would be a wise investment for you to listen to that over and over again. Some profound expressions from the heartbeat of God were brought forth to all of us as she ministered the word of the Lord. As I was going on past this verse, the Spirit of God stopped me, checked me, and brought me back. And it's an interesting thing when God does. I started to read the verse, and God shared with me some interesting scriptures, and He spoke to me about some things that I need to share with you so that you can get something out of this. It is reasons people grow weary. If you'll remember, Deborah was ministering on how to recharge your battery, how to recharge your life so you don't grow weary. Now, this is reasons why people grow weary. I want you to hear me before I read the verse. Whatever you do with God, whatever assignment you have, whatever plan there may be, and I want you to know this, listen, that if you're born of the Spirit of God, if you're really born of the Spirit of God, if you really got God on the inside of you, really placed Him first and foremost in your life, God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose. There is a destiny to fulfill. If you grow weary in doing so, then you will never accomplish what it might be that God has for you, whether it be in your business, whether it be with your family, whether it be with your children, whether it be with your neighbors, whatever it is that God has as an assignment, whether it be a small assignment or a large assignment, whatever that is, that God has a plan for your life. If you grow weary and give up, you will never accomplish the plan or have the destiny that God could have and wanted for you. You should have. You'll want it at the end of your life, and you'll never accomplish it because you grew weary. What we're going to do today is we're going to look at some areas in the Bible where men and women have grown weary and actually see situations in their life that can express to us and tell us how not to grow weary in what we're doing. Remember, like, for an example, last time we were been together, Deborah pointed out about the planting of the seed. Remember, Pastor Dan, in fact, before that said, whatsoever you sow, you shall reap. And if you'll remember, the subject is whatsoever is a brilliant word. It means whatsoever. Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, whether it's large or small, whether it's of God or not of God, whatever you put into this life, let me say it again, whatever you put into this life, you're going to get something back. What you want to put in is the ways of God. What you want to put in is the will of God so that you can get the blessings of God in your life. And all of us are learning how to do that. You remember the video of last week when she showed the plant growing and how it had to move a mountain. May I say this to you, as that seed is in the ground moving its mountain in order to produce its crop or its product, it takes time for that to happen. During that period of time is when we have opportunities to grow weary, give up, and quit because there's all kinds of pressures, all kinds of temptations that are on our lives. Let's read the verse, if you will, again. In verse number 9 of the 6th chapter, says it like this. And let us not, if there anything you ought to do, is if you've got your Bible, you ought to circle the word not. Because it makes a very important statement. Let us not grow weary while doing good, planting the seeds of God, waiting for the harvest of the things of God to come into our life. For in due season, we shall reap if we don't lose heart, if we don't give up. And so here he makes this brilliant and wonderful statement. And today, let's go and look at, in the scripture, some areas that God obviously wants us to see and look at because they're in the Word of God, reasons people grow weary. But before we go to reasons people grow weary and go through them, I want to ask you, what is it that God has for you? Maybe many of you don't know. You need to hang around God long enough. Maybe there's a vision on the inside of your heart. Maybe there's something that's there, a purpose, there's a destiny, there's a thought, there's an idea, there's a place that you believe God wants you to grow to, God wants you to get to. There's a mountain in the way, I promise you, there will always be that. But guess what? When there's a mountain in the way, there's a great big God who takes care of the mountains. And you and I have got to come to a place that whatever it is that God has given us an assignment to do, that we not grow weary in well-doing. Four areas I want to share with you out of the scripture where people have grown weary, all of which start with a word called difficult. Number one, here it is, a difficult journey. A difficult journey. When God has a plan for you to fulfill, has some place for you to go, there is a journey He's going to take you on. May I say this to you? It's not your journey. It's not the journey of the natural. It's not the journey of your parents. It's not the journey that you can even think about or understand. It's a journey with God. Therefore, it is not natural. It is a supernatural journey. And any time that you enter into a supernatural journey with God, it will appear to be overwhelming. It'll appear to be incredibly difficult. And people who have faced the journey that has set before them, whether it be small or whether it be large, that they have faced that journey. And the ones that work through that journey and get the job done are the ones that prosper and are successful. The ones that look at the journey and say, I can't go that far. I'm not smart enough. I can't do this. I'm not talented enough. I don't know how to do it, and make excuses to not go on the journey is someone who doesn't know the character of God. You see, on every journey that God takes you on, every journey, whether it be small journeys or a large journey, may I say this to you? God has got to be at the center focus of that journey. If you're looking at the journey, you'll fail. But if you look at the journey through the eyes of faith in God, then guess what? Then it's God's job to get the job done. And I want you to know something. When we started this church, it was a journey that God had asked us to go on. Well, we didn't have any money at all. We had a lot of people. We're from San Bernardino, guys. You got to be kidding. And yet there was a journey that God wanted me to go on. I saw this. My Deborah designed every bit of this building. Every color that you're looking at right now, every arch, every bit of thread that matches the colors in the carpet and the tile on this platform. May I say this to you? And everything your eyes are setting on was all part of a journey that God was taking her on. Every piece of tile out in front, that angel out in front, was bought 5 years before the building was ever built and stored and collected dust, because God had given us a vision. God had given us a journey. We didn't know how to fulfill the journey, had no idea. The obvious way was God somehow bring a whole lot of money in. I'm thinking God can bring in $4 or $5 million. I had faith for $4 or $5 million. Surely we can do something with $4 or $5 million. I had no idea by the time we'd finished this building that it was not just a $4 or $5 million project. We finished, we were into it for $18 million, and since then have added a couple of million more plus that into this building. We have over $20 million. That's a journey. If I'd have looked at the journey in the beginning and God said, son, you're going to build me a 20-some-odd-million-dollar church for the glory of God in one of the roughest, dirtiest little parts of section of San Bernardino in the midst of poverty, where nobody gives anything and nobody gives a flip about whether or not you do it. I would have looked at the journey and given up. But I had to keep my eyes on the one who makes the journey work, and his name is Jesus. That was a big journey. Every morning I take a journey. Every morning, 6 days a week, I get up out of bed and I jog. You know, at my age, jogging, I don't know if you can even call it jogging. Some people walk by me, think I'm sleepwalking. I'm going so slow. You know, but that's okay. I don't mind it. You know, I'm jogging as best I can. I'm going up hills. I'm jogging miles every single day. Every bone, every muscle. There's a lot of bones. There's a lot of muscles. There's a lot of joints. There's a lot of tendons I didn't know I had in my body. They're all talking at me. They're all saying, this journey you don't need to take. You don't need to go to the top. Forget it. Why don't you just be a big old fat old man with a pot belly like everybody else? It's okay. Just stop. Lay down. Sleep. Don't do anything. Just go ahead and be a lazy old man. I'm telling you, I'm on a journey. I'm on a journey to take Jesus as far as I can go. Guess what? And every day I'm on that journey. Are you listening to me? Every day I've got to do something to make the journey work. And may I say this to you? Whatever journey God has you to be on, I'm here to tell you something. It will be difficult. You know why it's difficult? Because God's not in easy things. God's in big things, difficult things. Listen to me. Easy things you can do yourself. And you don't need God to get in there. What you need is when it's difficult, then God says, here I am. He rises up and he gets involved. And we're always looking for the easy. God's not in the easy. God's in the difficult. And every journey you'll ever be on will look and peer to you like you can't make it, will seem to you like it's frustrating, will see to you like you're never going to make the end, you'll never accomplish the goal, you'll never get to where you need to go. But I'm here to tell you, every journey you're going to be in, you have got to keep your eyes on Jesus, no matter how bad it is, no matter what it feels like, no matter if it fits with your thinking, you keep your eyes on Jesus and you realize that's the journey that God's got me on, and I'm going to be diligent because my God is into difficult journeys. Somebody give me a great big amen. The children of Israel have got a journey. God's got them in the wilderness. He pulls them, you know the story, pulls them out of Egypt. And they're in the wilderness. Some of you have been in the wilderness. Some of you have been pulled out of Egypt. Now you're in with God. And it doesn't seem to be anything but a desolate land. You're wondering about the blessings. You're wondering about why things don't happen. I want you to know something. There's a day when the journey that you're on that's difficult is going to end. There is a promised land waiting for you. But here's the deal. During that journey, if he can get you off track, get you to quit, you'll never make the promised land. You'll never be a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You'll never be someone who gets blessed by the things of God. Well, the children of Israel found themselves in a mess. Go with me, if you will, into Numbers in the 21st chapter. And they found themselves doing something. Listen to what takes place in the, as they call this their wilderness. Can I just share something? When the children of Israel called it their wilderness, they started getting angry at God. And listen to this. They started getting angry at Moses. Most people, when they're in a wilderness, will get angry at God and will get angry at any leaders that tell them to do something. Here's why. Because in a wilderness, you're on a journey you don't know how you're going to make until you bring God into it. So here we are, all of us in this place. You may say, I'm in a dry place. I'm in a wilderness. Things are difficult. But I'm here to tell you something. Don't get mad at God. Just know you're called by God to hold on. God's going to make it all work. He's going to open doors no man can open. Close doors no man can close. Don't you close the door. Let God close the door. Are you listening to me? Here are the children of Israel. They're finding themselves in the 21st chapter of Numbers. Listen to what it says in verse number 4. It says, then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, because there was problems there. Listen to this. And the souls of the people became very discouraged on the way. When the journey is difficult, you've got to remember you have got a big, great, tough God. And nothing, I want to say it again, nothing is impossible to him that believes. And when you get your eyes on a difficult journey, instead of keeping your eyes on a great God, you will fail. But if you have your eyes on a great God, instead of the difficult journey, you will prosper. Somebody ought to say amen. We're talking about a wonderful subject called Reasons People Grow Weary. Here's number two. Are you ready? First one was difficult journey. Number two, difficult job. I don't know how to do it. I'm not prepared to do this. I can't do it. I can't make it work. I'm not educated enough to do it. I'm not trained to do this. The world is full of excuses. And the church in America, that means us, we're full of excuses. God's not looking for somebody who gives him excuses. He is not a rational God that thinks the way we think and we add up all the facts. He's a God that says, go ahead and add up the facts, but put me in there in the equation and you're going to see a different result. He never says, you have the right education, I can use you. He never comes along and says, if you're pretty enough, I can use you. He never comes along and says, well, let me tell you something. If you're gifted enough, I can use you. The job you think is only for those that are gifted, for those that are talented, for those that have experience. And it's not that way at all with God. And if you look at the job and you say to yourself, I can't do this, you have just spoken the truth. You can't. But you and God together can. And that's the difference. And I don't know if you got that or not, so let me say it again so you don't miss it. If you look at a job and it's too big for you and you say, I can't do it, you just spoke the truth because you can't do it in your power. No one's asked you to do it in your power. I want you to know something. You've got to bring into the equation on how to get the job done. You've got to bring your mighty God that nothing is impossible or too great for. And you have got to bring him into the equation. It's not about you doing it by yourself. It's about God and you doing it together. Somebody say amen. So we talk about difficult jobs, and then all of a sudden we start to read our Bible. There's this guy named Nehemiah. He happens to be told and has a mandate from God in his time of he's going to go to Jerusalem, and he's going to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem that had been torn down because of the devastation of Jerusalem. He lives in a different country. Miles and hundreds of miles away. You know, and he gets this mandate from God to go build the walls. By the way, and he also gets a mandate from God to build the gates. The gates have been burned. The gates have been built. They're massive. I'm not talking about a little gate like we have in the front of our church. I'm talking about gates as big as that wall in the back that have been burned and torn down. I'm talking about a construction project, listen to this, that has blocks bigger than your cars that weigh 10, 15, 20 times the amount of your automobile. And big, giant blocks been torn to pieces and torn apart. This guy has been called by God to go mend the walls. He's never seen the walls. He's never seen the gates. He has no idea what's ahead of him. Now, I would have thought, wouldn't you, that God would have given that job to the great construction company in that area. You know, like Moses and Sons Construction Company, or Aaron and the Boys Incorporated. He gives a construction job to a guy who's a cupbearer. I don't know if you know what a cupbearer is. A cupbearer brings in the wine to the king. He's got a great job. He tests the wine for the king. If it's poison, he dies. The king waits to see if he dies before he drinks the wine. If he lives, the king smiles and he drinks his wine knowing it's going to be safe. What a job. Anybody want to apply? I mean, you talk about a bad job. And the very guy that does nothing more than bring a cup of wine to the king himself, is the guy that's got the greatest construction project ahead of him that time has ever known in those days. And the job would appear to be too great to anybody. It would appear to be great to somebody who knows how to do construction, let alone somebody who has a cup of wine. Can I say something? God's not looking for your ability. God's not looking for how cool you are, smart you are, how pretty you are. God's not looking for the degrees that prove you can do something. You know what God's looking for? An obedient heart, on a heart that knows I've got a big job, it's difficult in front of me, but my God is a great God and He can get the job done. When He goes to Jerusalem, go there with me in the scripture. Turn with me, if you will, into Nehemiah in the fourth chapter. When we look at the scripture, we find that here's Nehemiah in the fourth chapter. And all of a sudden, a friend of his by the name of Judah comes to him. And Judah makes this statement to Nehemiah. He's finally arrived. He's looking at the walls and he's got some people to help him build up the walls. Remember, a guy with no experience, just a guy with God, because the job's not too difficult when you have God on your side. It says these, "Then Judah said, 'The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall.'" Listen to the words. "I see the job is too big. There's too much rubbish. It's too difficult. I don't know how to make it work. The guys, now everybody else's heart is failing, but Nehemiah kept his heart. The wall wasn't built because the guys had a heart that was strong. The wall was built because there was one man that was obedient that could understand the principle. The understanding of this is that if he will be obedient and put God into the big job that you're facing, I'm here to tell you something. You and God together can do anything. Somebody say amen. We're talking about a wonderful subject called Reasons People Grow Weary. Here's number three, real quick. Are you ready? Difficult, it starts out. Difficult people. Wherever you go, there's always a negative person. I'm allergic to negative people. They give me the hives. I don't want to be around them. They cause me to itch. You know why? Because they always have something critical to say. They've always can say, "Well, I know somebody who tried that, just what you're trying, and they were a Christian too, and they failed." I want you to know something. You can make $1 billion. How'd you like to make $1 billion? I'll tell you how. You can believe God with all of your heart. Put in all of your heart, all of your faith into it. Believe God. Listen to this. And if you fail, then you can join the circus and people will come and look at you and give you $1 to see the only person on the planet that truly had their heart sunk in God, that truly was in faith, truly believed in God, and it failed, and you can join the circus and make $1 billion, because there's nobody, listen to me, that ever fails when they're really in God. You may hear about people who fail. You may hear about situations that don't work well, but I got good news to you. If you've got your heart in God, then it isn't the situation that calls out whether you're successful. It's the relationship with God that calls out for successful. Doesn't matter what I have, it no matter what I've done, it matters who He is. And if I've got a relationship with Him, may I say that to you? Listen to this. If I've got a relationship, then I have got all I'll ever need. And guess what? I am now successful. Whether I get it or don't get it isn't the issue. The issue is I've got God. And when I've got God, I'm the richest man on the planet. And I don't know about you, but I don't like negative people. Sometimes we don't understand that people speak to us without saying a word. Sometimes you don't even know that you're being affected negatively by the world around you. And most people don't recognize that. Sometimes we'll see people in the world that don't have Christ, and they seem so successful, they seem so prosperous, they got nice houses, nice cars, they got swimming pools, got nice job, they're not feeling the economic crunch whatsoever, everything just looks so good, And all of a sudden you say, I don't understand this. And you get weary and you get discouraged and you want to give up and quit because it just doesn't seem fair. May I say this to you? My God, and so is yours, He is not fair, but He is just. And that's the difference. He's not fair, He's just. He knows just exactly what He's doing. And what He does is the right thing. And we're always looking for fair. We look at a lot of people around us, they seem so successful. And we say to ourselves, God, I went to church last week. I gave my last $10 in the offering. I was there praising God on Sunday. I got dressed. I was in church. I was reading your scripture. I was singing songs to you. That guy, he never sang a song to you. That guy who's rich over there has never ever done a thing for you. He's got the house. He's got the cars. He's got it all. And you know something? They're speaking to us and make us weary so that we give up on God. I want to take you, if I may, to Psalms in the 73rd chapter. I want to read it to you. Psalm 73, the psalmist writes this text, and it's wonderful for all of us to see. Psalm 73, we're talking about how discouraged people can be, difficult people can be. They speak to us not only with words that are negative, but they also speak in their lifestyle. May I say this to you? Listen to this. You finish the riddle. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but what? What? Let's try it again. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but what? That's a lie. Words come in and destroy and defeat, discourage and frustrate you. Are you listening? So watch this psalmist as he writes. Verse number 2, the 73rd chapter of Psalms, says it like this. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. Now stop right there. His feet almost stumbled. He almost couldn't keep going. He almost fell down. He says this in verse number two. He says, my steps had nearly slipped. Wow. For I was envious of the boastful. And when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, in other words, he couldn't figure it out. It almost caused him to be weary. It almost caused him to give up on God. It didn't seem fair. But then he says, goes through all of it, but verse 16 and verse number 17, let me read you verse 16. Let's read it together. He says, and when I thought how to understand this, he says this, it was too painful for me. In other words, all these people, their prosperity and their success, and they have it all. And I don't understand that, God. They don't serve you. I don't understand that, God. I've given you everything. I've given you my widow's mite. But I'm here to tell you, when you plant a good seed, don't be weary and well-doing. In due season, it's going to come to pass. And don't let the people rob your due season. Just keep on keeping on. But verse 17, pop it up on the overhead, says this. Until, I didn't know how to figure it out. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then, when he's in the sanctuary of God, I understood their end. Their end is this. They're going to hell. Their end is they're living a life. They may have a great house, great car, seeming like they have no problem. Their kids will grow up and be a mess. Their generations that'll follow them that'll not serve God. They'll all end up in hell. And now he understands it when he went into the house of God. When you come into the house of God and you have a touch from God and you're ministered to by God, all of a sudden you realize how wealthy and how wonderful you are. You don't have to listen to the negative people. You got a positive God. Don't let the world speak to you. Don't let people tell you something different than what God says. Don't be weary and well-doing. So important for us. Here's number 4 of why people become weary. Reasons people grow weary. Number 4, difficult results. When things are just difficult, the results didn't come out like you wanted them to come out. Welcome to Christianity 101. This is not some slot machine in the sky where you throw up a prayer, pull the handle, and God pours out every blessing that you ever asked for. Sometimes being a Christian is difficult. Don't tell me it wasn't difficult for those martyrs that walked into the arena as their kids were being slaughtered before them. Don't think it's not difficult for our missionaries that are on the front row even today as we're speaking, and their brothers and sisters in the countries they minister, listen to this, have been killed in their ministry and been cut into pieces. Don't think this is just an easy thing. Sometimes in our walk with God, the results are very difficult, and we get weary and we quit and we give up and we blame God. But I got good news for you. Understanding completely that this weariness comes and it's difficult. In Proverbs, the 13th chapter, verse number 12, pop it up on the overhead, makes this statement. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But then he says, but it didn't say it's never coming, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. In other words, in order for the desire to come, you're going to have to endure difficult results. You're going to have to keep the seed in the ground. You can't be weary in well-doing. A lot of times people think of things that they don't know exactly what the Scriptures teach us. I want to share something with you that you probably never saw before. Most people don't even understand this or know this. There was a Creator, his name is Jesus Christ. He holds it all together. Of course, we're here celebrating his resurrection, his life. He's our Lord and our Savior. Everything on this planet exists because of him. We all agree on that. He knows the beginning from the end. He created you and he created me. He gathered the dust from the ground, and he blew life. We humans came out of it. He knows it all, except there was one thing he didn't know. You say, wait a minute, he knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything. But there's one thing he didn't know. You see, that one thing, even though he created man, even though he blew life in the man, he did not know what it felt like to be man. And when Jesus came to this planet to redeem you and I, the church has stopped at the cross at Calvary and said the reason that he went to the cross was for our salvation. And yes, amen to that. But the reason he also went to the cross is because he wanted to experience and know what you felt like under a time of pressure, under a time of pain. Because what kind of a God would he be who understands you, but doesn't understand what it's like to walk through life like you? What kind of a God would he be to be in the heavens and say this is the way it is, but not feel what you feel when the pressures of life are on you? And yes, he came to redeem us, but he also came to experience us. That's why the Word of God says in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 15, first pop it up, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize, listen to these words, with our weakness. In other words, he knows the pain. He knows the feeling. He knows the inadequacy. He knows the pressure. He knows the temptation. But who was in all points, that means every area of pain, tempted as you, as we are, yet without sin. In other words, he came so that when you hurt, pressure's on you, he doesn't just know about the hurt, he feels the hurt. Are you following me? All through our lives, we've had difficult results, Debbie and I, about a lot of things that we've prayed about. Frustrating, absolutely. Discouraging at times? You bet. Wanting to quit? You better believe it. Wanting to give it up? You know it. But there's this one verse that just keeps popping out all the time. Our walk with Jesus Christ. Because of what we just read in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 15. In 1 Corinthians 10, 13, it says these words. Listen to this. No temptation. Circle the word temptation. No pressure. No trial. No difficult results. No difficult journey. No difficult job. No difficult people that are negative that are in your life. No temptation has overtaken you except such which is common to man. Sometimes when the pressure's on and the pain is there, you feel like you're all alone. Some of you have lost children and you feel like, I'm all alone. Listen, the Father lost His Son, Jesus. He knows what it's like. You're not alone. And He makes this comment that everything, every pressure, every difficult situation is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able. How do you know what He is and what's able, what I can handle, what I can't? Because He was there and He felt it. But with the temptation or the pressure or the trial that's in your life will make a way of escape, and that's Him. That you may be able to what? Bear it. So here we are today. This verse jumps out. What a verse. How many times have we looked at the economics of this church and said, there's no way we can keep going. There's no way we can make this work. There's no way we can function. How many times have we said we're going to not have a women's conference or a men's conference? How many times have we said we need to stop all this money going out to missionaries around the world? Just have church services. And then all of a sudden the verse says, don't be weary in well doing. That in due season, if you don't give up, you'll receive. And that's what this is all about today. Is He makes a way of escape. He lets you know that you're not alone. He lets you know that what you're going through is common. He lets you know that He was there on the cross and every other place, and He literally has felt what you feel as far as pain. And He will never push you past what you can handle, because what you can handle is how much can you deposit your heart in Him instead of in the pain. And when you deposit your heart in Him instead of the pain, then come on. I won't get weary in well-doing. That which I planted will move a mountain, and it will produce for me what God has for me to do. And today, we talked about four areas. Number one, difficult journeys. Are you on one? The answer is Jesus. Difficult job. Are you facing something you can't do? Thank God, because now God can make a way for you if you'll trust Him. Difficult people, be cautious that they don't get you off track and go on with God. Number four, difficult results. You're not alone. God's with you. Guess what? He'll give you a means of escape. And that is the day that you, the moment that you plant your heart in Jesus, it's over with and everything is okay. If God spoke to you today, if God spoke to you today, if God spoke to you today,
we want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.